Welcome to Antioch. We are a multi-generational, justice-minded church in beautiful Bend, Oregon, seeking and celebrating the reconciliation of all things. May the Word of God turn your heart toward Christ and the world He loves.
As we move from gathering to listening, our scripture reading today is from the book of Psalms, chapter 36, verses 5 through 10. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. And in your light, we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Natalie. Morning, church. Good to see you all today. Glad that you're with us. How's everybody doing without TikTok? Are we making it? This is a hard time for some of us, but I'm glad you're here. Hey, before we get to the sermon this morning, I want to do something a little different. I want to take about 15 minutes and fill you in on some of the good stuff that's happening around here. And it'll be kind of like a state of the church address, if you will. Sound good? All right. I've got four things to let you know about. The first is, hold on, we have a couple of new elder candidates that we are submitting to you today. You found on your seat when you came in a sheet that introduces Beth Rasmussen and Damon Runberg to you. And I am so excited to put Beth and Damon's names before you this morning. Beth teaches social studies here in Bend, and she and Jesse have been part of Antioch for the last 8 years, and Damon works as an economist for the state, and he and Christy have been part of Antioch since way back in 2011, and both of them are wonderful central families in the life of our church. And what you need to know is that for the last 6 months or so, Beth and Damon have been going through a fairly extensive interview and discernment process that's laid out for you in detail on the back of the page for the three of you that care about these sorts of things. But they have read a couple of books on theology and church leadership. They wrote papers. They had to write out answers to a bunch of questions about their life and doctrine and ministry involvement. They went through a round of interviews with our current elders, including one with their spouses. And so what we're doing this morning is that I, on behalf of the rest of our elders, are submitting their name to you as candidates for eldership here. And we have found both Beth and Damon to be people of Christ-like character who are biblically qualified for the office of elder and passionately committed to the vision, mission, and congregation of Antioch. And so this morning, we are putting their names in front of you and letting you know that we think that God is calling them to serve our church in this way. In about a month, we're going to have their installation service. And at that time, we'll bring them up, we'll lay hands on them, and they'll kind of be sworn into office, so to speak. But the reason we're giving you a heads up today is because we want to make sure you guys give us a chance, or we want to make sure we give you a chance to tell us if there's anything we don't know about Beth or Damon, okay? We want the whole church to be part of this process together. And so we've vetted them pretty well. We think they're legit, but you've got your chance now to kind of speak now or forever hold your peace. If one of them stole your dog or owes you a bunch of money or something like that, we'd love to hear about it. But all that to say, I am so excited about Beth and Damon joining our board, and so grateful for them agreeing to serve our church in this way. So that's announcement number one. Number two, we've got a staff update. As of the first of this year, we have hired a new staff member, and her name is Esther Weitzma. So Esther is our new middle school and worship arts coordinator, and she graduated from George Fox last year. She came here in the fall to do a 9-month worship and youth ministry internship, and pretty much as soon as she got here, we realized we want to keep her around as long as we can. And so if you were here a couple weeks ago, you got to see Esther in the middle school worship band that she's been working with, which was just so cool. You may remember during Advent when she wrote a song for us, and we just love the idea of investing heavily in our kids and also in the arts, and Esther's already doing a great job in both of those places. And so she's working for us 3/4 time, and part of that role will be working with Linda and leading our middle school ministry, and then the other part will be devoted to writing songs, poetry, creative art endeavors, collaborating some with Calvin and our other worship leaders in that stuff. And what's really exciting on the youth group side of things is that ever since basically we reopened after COVID, we've had our middle school and high school ministries happening at the same time. So here on Wednesday nights, if you've ever stopped by, it is a madhouse. There are like 50, 60, 70 kids. Every room of this building is packed with middle schoolers and high schoolers. And so with Esther coming on board, what we're going to be able to do is move middle schoolers to Tuesday night and keep high schoolers on Wednesday night, which will not only allow each of those ministries to have a little more room, but the truth is, there's a big difference between a 6th grade boy and a 12th grade girl, right? They're not the same in any way. And so it'll help us to serve both of those age groups a little bit better. So stoked about that change. That'll happen in about a month or so, second week of February. And of all, there's lots of reasons we're excited to have Esther, but one of them, what's really cool, if you don't know, is that Esther's parents planted this church. Way back in 2006, her dad, Ken Weitzma, was the founding pastor here and the lead guy for Antioch's first 12 years. And so Esther literally grew up at Antioch. This is what she looks like now. This is what she looked like at the time. Just precious. And so we love the legacy and the opportunity to have her, specifically a young female minister on our team, pouring into our kids. So stoked to have Esther on the team. That's number two. Number three, I've got a building update for you. Actually, not really. The update is that I'll have an update for you soon. And I do want to let you know that. If you've been around here for the last year and a half or so, you know we've been dreaming about how we might best steward this little half acre that God's given us in the middle of Bend. And when we bought this property during COVID, we were holding services online, and we didn't really know what we were going to do with this place. We just knew we couldn't meet at the high school anymore, and we needed a place. And so at the time, we didn't know if this was just going to be sort of our starter home as a church, or if this was going to be our forever home. And if you'll remember, about a year and a half ago, we kind of discerned and announced that we think God was calling us to make this our forever home. And if that's the case, then we realize that we've got a lot of work to do around here. So we're pretty much at 100% capacity, both services every week, both in here and especially up in the kids' rooms. We're out of space, and so we need more worship space and kids' space. We also really want our building to be 100% accessible to all people, and it's currently not, so we got to figure out how to do that. And then finally, we really don't see this building and property only as a place that serves our church and our ministries, but as a place that allows our church to serve the needs of our neighborhood and our city. And so we've got all kinds of stuff that's happening here throughout the week. We've got our safe parking program out in the parking lot. community garden with Salvation Army, and then tons of different groups and ministries and organizations that meet here and use our space throughout the week. And so last winter, if you were around, we started working with a really great local architect to come up with a plan for this place. And we had a family meeting. We showed you guys a couple of design concepts. You got a chance to give your input. Then we pulled together sort of an ad hoc building committee of Antioch folks to give a recommendation to the elders on next steps. And essentially their recommendation was that we needed a clearer objective for our building project. And we wanted to come up with a design concept that was more focused and at a price point that was more in line with our vision and mission and values as a church. And so that was the recommendation, and that's what we've been working on for about the last 6 months or so through the summer and the fall. And so what I want you to know for now is that the dream is alive and well. And we've been working with an incredible architect from Arizona who has decades of experience working with churches like us. And he's got a killer design concept that I can't wait to show you, but I can't show you yet. We've got a couple more steps we have to go through before we can do that. And so sit tight. Within the next couple of months, hopefully, we're going to be able to show you something and then figure out together what it looks like to move forward. So that's the building update. I would ask, would you please keep praying for this project? And number two, would you keep thinking about how you're going to give the biggest gift you've ever given when the time comes? So that's the update for now. Stay tuned. All right, I've got one last thing to tell you about. And that is, back in September, we got a call from the Central Oregon Health Council. They're a local nonprofit organization that's working to make our community a safer, healthier place to live. And they called us because they had heard about how we're using our building, not just to serve the needs of our congregation, but to also serve the needs of our city, especially among children and youth. So obviously, we're right across the street from Bend High, and if you don't know, every single day during lunch and after school, our parking lot is packed with Bend High students. They eat their lunch here, they hang out on our benches, they ride their skateboards around, they play cornhole and gaga ball out front, they come in, use our bathrooms, drinking fountain. There was a dude microwaving something the other day. So we love... We love welcoming the students onto our property here. And on top of that, all throughout the week, like I said, there's a whole bunch of different organizations and programs that use our space for all different kinds of stuff, specifically for kids and youth ministry. So the short list is After School Buddies, the Girl Scouts, Ovation Performing Arts, Classical Conversations, Young Life, Kantari Children's Choir, the Bend High Counseling Department, the Homeschool Co-op, along with several other tutoring groups, after-school groups, sports teams, music lessons. There's all kinds of stuff that happens here almost every day of the week. Sometimes I'll pop in here on a weeknight and there's like a children's choir performing, or there's like a swim team having their Christmas party or something. So I don't even try to keep track of who's supposed to be here. But it's really cool. We love sharing this space with lots of different folks, especially that are serving kids and youth. And so kind of in a really real way, our place here has become a community center, specifically for the kids and youth of our city. And that's why the Central Oregon Health Council reached out to us. They had heard about us, and they think that places like this, places that provide safe, drug-free environments where kids can be nurtured and hang out, are really important when it comes specifically to preventing drug use and mental health crises among teens. And so they said, would you guys be interested in applying for a grant from the Central Oregon Health Council, and it would help you kind of better serve the students and the groups that hang around your building? And we said, well, that's sure a nice idea, but what you need to know is we're not like actually a community center. We're a church, right? And we have all kinds of groups that come here throughout the week, but we hold to the historic Christian faith. And we are completely unashamed and devoted to the gospel of Jesus. And we share our group, our building with all kinds of folks, but we are a church and everything we do here is explicitly Christian. Kind of thinking that would, you know, end the conversation. And they said, yeah, that's no problem. We love the kind of stuff that you're doing and how you're welcoming and serving so many kids in your space. And they said, that's the kind of thing we're looking to give funding towards. And I said, well, great, because we're working on a building program. And they said, sorry, that's not really what we do. We're not giving towards construction projects or real estate or building improvements or that sort of thing. They said, but if there's equipment or supplies you need, if there's trainings or events or programs that you guys are doing, we would love to help cover some of those costs. So we said, sure. So we got together as staff last fall and made a list of all the cool stuff we could think of that would make this an even better place for students to hang out and for youth organizations to meet. And they told us to dream big, so we did. And we put down a bunch of new sound equipment and kitchen appliances and video games and sports equipment and musical gear and playground toys and all kinds of fun stuff like that. And then they also told us that some of the immersive justice trips that we do as Antioch and Antioch Youth would qualify as well. So like when we take groups down to the deep south to be immersed in the story of racial justice in our country, or when Antioch Youth goes up to Yakima Nation to help kids learn about indigenous issues, they said those kinds of trips would qualify as well. So we put in for a bunch of spots to take students on those kinds of trips. So our whole staff worked together on this, and then what you need to know is that it was Linda, our family pastor who oversees children and youth ministry. She was really the one who did all the hard work and rolled it into this grant application, and we submitted it in September sometime. And they had originally told us, they'd let us know at the end of October, then that got pushed out a little bit, and then in November they said probably won't know until January, and we said that's fine. And if we're honest, I totally forgot about it. When we got into the holidays and Christmas and everything, there was a lot going on. And the truth is, you know, things are going great around here financially. We're in a good spot. So it's not like we're, you know, desperate for this outside funding or something. So kind of just moved on and kept plugging away. Well, then a few days ago, we got an email from the Health Council, and they apologized for taking so long and thanked us for our patience as we were waiting for a response. And they said, if you guys are still interested, we'd like to give you $295,000 to help you serve local kids and youth a little bit better. Which is just amazing, isn't it? So, again, we can't use this for our building project, and that's totally fine, but we can use it to fund all of the cool stuff that's already happening here and to purchase some equipment and supplies to put on events and programs and trips that will continue to create safe spaces for kids to be nurtured and poured into. And so we've got some really fun stuff in the works that way. So make sure you dab up Linda when you see her, because she put a lot of work into this. I forgot about this. Linda did not. She was very much paying attention to the timeline, and I really appreciate it. So it's pretty cool, huh? So we are so grateful to the COHC. That was incredibly generous, and we are stoked to see what happens. The last thing I want to say is just God's been really good to us as a church, and I'm so grateful for that. And you know all those places in the Bible, especially when Jesus is talking about seeking heavenly rewards for our good works, that's always felt a little weird to me. Right? Like, that seems like strange motivation for following God, is so that I can get rewards. And especially if we kind of tend to think of those rewards as being like health and wealth or finances and prosperity or something, like that's clearly not what God promises. And so I've always struggled with those passages. But my mentor and theology professor, Gary Beshears, he'll be here with us in a couple weeks. What he says is that God's rewards for faithfulness aren't health and wealth. It's not money and prosperity and all that kind of stuff. Gary says that the rewards God gives us are opportunities to do cool stuff with Jesus. And I think that's what it is. I think the promise that God has, the invitation that God has, is when we're faithful with little, that he'll give us even more cool stuff to do with Jesus. And we're getting to do that. And I love it. So I just want to say, well done, Antioch. Good and faithful servants. I am so proud of you. And I can't wait to see what other cool stuff we get to do with Jesus together. Sound good? All right, I've got 10 minutes to do Psalm 36, so let's go there for the rest of our time. Each week during the season of Epiphany, we are looking at one of the Psalms. And as you know, the book of Psalms is the only book of the Bible that's not meant to be read. It's meant to be prayed. Psalms teaches us how to pray. And in the same way that all of us first learn to speak by repeating back the words that were spoken to us, we learn to pray by praying back the words that God has spoken to us in Scripture. And so as we pray the Psalms over the course of our lives, we find ourselves learning to pray in a bunch of different ways. We learn to thank God. We learn to lament. We learn to pray wisdom psalms. We learn to pray psalms of praise and several other kinds. And so in the middle of Psalm 36, where we are this morning, what we have is a beautiful example of what it looks like to praise God. This is a prayer that praises God. And that matters to us because if we're going to follow Jesus, he said that the first and greatest commandment is that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And one of the ways that we love God is by praising him. Now, we use the word praise around church and we sing it in songs and that sort of thing. But I wonder how often we stop and go, what does it really mean to praise God? And how can I learn to praise God as a way of life, as a reflection of, as an act of love towards God? So that's the question. What does it mean to praise God? And I've been thinking about this recently because I won't actually be here next Sunday. My family and I will be down in Fresno, and I'm doing a memorial service for my grandma. She passed away over Christmas break. I got a picture for you. This is Dorothy Heidebrecht. She was 92, and she's my mom's mom. And, you know, of course, it is so hard to lose anybody that you love, but at 44, to still have a grandma, I was so grateful for many, many great years with her. And so I'll be down in her hometown doing her service next weekend. Part of my job when I do a funeral is to give the eulogy. Now, eulogy is kind of a funny word. It comes from two root words, eu and logos. Eu means good, and logos means word. So a eulogy is literally a good word. When someone dies, we get up and we give the good word about their life. Which is a little different than how we, if like somebody says, hey, put in a good word for me. You're like, you want me to speak at your funeral or what? I didn't even know you were sick. But as I've been preparing for her service, I've been trying to find the good words to capture who my grandma was. And it's a really good exercise in remembering that a person is more than what they do. I could tell you what my grandma did with her life. where she went to college, what she studied, what she did for work, what she did for fun, what she did for her free time. And you'd learn something about who she was. But in order to really know her, you also need to know, what was she like? Not just what did she do, but what was she like? What did it feel like to be around her? What kind of person was she? Well, that's what a good eulogy does. It doesn't just tell you what they did. It tells you who they were and what they were like. The same is true when it comes to God. There's a difference between what God does and who God is. They're intrinsically connected, of course, like who he is revealed in what he does. But in the Psalms, what we learn is how to glorify God both for what he does and for who he is. And those are two different forms of prayer. And they're simple, familiar words to both of us. When we give God glory for what he does, we're giving him thanks. When we give God glory for who he is, we're giving him praise. So we praise God for who he is, and we thank God for what he does. What we see in Psalm 36 is a prayer that praises God for who he is. Look in verse 5. David writes, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice is like the great deep." How many of you can only hear that in third day? Okay. Notice that he's not saying anything about what God has done. He's talking about who God is, what God is like. And so specifically, this psalm praises God for four aspects of his character. We call these attributes, the characteristics of God that are core to who he is. And so David specifically names four: his love, his faithfulness, his righteousness, and his justice. These are all attributes of God, or divine characteristics that make up who God is. These aren't things necessarily that God does. This is what God is like. And I love, if we had more time, we could break down poetically how David uses parallels to help these words mutually inform one another. Quickly, meaning love and faithfulness are two sides of the same coin. God's love is a faithful love. God's faithfulness is a loving faithfulness. God's righteousness is a just righteousness. His justice is a righteous justice. The point is that this is the prayer of a person who has spent a considerable amount of time meditating on the character of God. David has spent hours and hours throughout his life reflecting on who God is and what God is like. It's probably one of the reasons that the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. And so it is always appropriate to give God thanks for what he's done, but we also want to be people who give God praise for who he is. Why? Why should we praise God? Well, first, because he deserves it, and secondly, because we need it. Look at the next three verses. "How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." So David's going, when we praise God for who he is, what do we get in return? Well, he lists these kinds of things: shelter, food, water, and light for our souls. Those sound familiar. These are like kind of the things that are necessary to sustain life, right? So our deepest needs are met in the character of God. We praise God because our very lives depend on who he is. So we not only praise God because he deserves it, we praise God because we need it. So I've got three takeaways for you. Here's what it looks like to live a life of praise. We know praise is one of the things we do here on Sundays, but it spills out into the rest of the week as well. And so number one, remember who God is. And what I mean by that is when you're going through an anxious time, when you're feeling afraid, when you're feeling uncertain, preach the gospel of God's character to yourself. Remind yourself of what you know to be true about who God is. Because even when life is uncertain and you don't know what's going to happen, what you do know is who God is. And sometimes you need to remind yourself of the good news of God's love, faithfulness, justice, righteousness, compassion, grace, mercy, strength, on and on and on. Get in the habit of preaching the gospel of God's character to yourself. Number two, read your Bible outside. David is obviously immersed in God's world as he reflects on God's character. He looks to the skies, he looks to the mountains, he looks to the depths of the ocean. He says, we skipped over the verse, but he says, God provides both for humans and for animals. David's vision of God's character is expanded when he worships God in the context of God's world. So, read your Bible outside, or when it's 21 degrees, at least looking out a window, right? And number three, sign up for Theology for Everyone. I am dead serious. I am so excited about this new series of classes that we're going to be rolling out with Jeff Porter. We are so blessed to have a guy like him who's devoting time to help us become better theologians. And so if this is new space for you, if maybe you've never taken a theology class before, this is exactly for you. A chance to become more familiar with God, not just knowing about him, but coming to truly know him as he is. So make sure you do that. All right. Last word. I want to go back to the idea of eulogy. Typically, the way it works is that we live our life, and then we die, and then somebody gets up and gives a eulogy about us. They speak a good word over our life once it's already been completed. The gospel works the other way. The good news is that God gives our eulogy first. God speaks a good word about us in Christ right now, today. He declares that we are loved and accepted and treasured by him just as we are. So we don't have to go through our life trying to earn our eulogy, trying to deserve a good word. It's already been spoken over us. That's pretty good news. So Antioch, as you reflect on the character of God, may his spirit transform you to become more like him. And may you go live a life of love, faithfulness, righteousness, and justice, not so that you can earn God's favor, but because it's already been given to you. Amen.